And all right, here in Matthew chapter number 18, I want to draw everyone's attention to the very last verse of the chapter, verse number 35. Jesus is speaking here, and he's preaching a parable. It says this in verse number 35. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. First thing I want to point out about this verse is the statement that Christ makes at the very end. The statement that Christ makes, he says this, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. So we can see that that's indicative of a true forgiveness. There is a forgiveness that is not from the heart. There's a forgiveness that someone maybe just speaks with the lip, but they're actually not truly and sincerely forgiving this person, are they? So understand here, when Christ is speaking about forgiveness, he says, hey, when you forgive someone, you need to forgive them from your heart. That's the title of the sermon this morning, Forgive from Your Heart. I'm going to be preaching, of course, on the topic of forgiveness, the significance of forgiveness. And I want to really get to the core of forgiveness. Number one, I want to talk about what forgiveness, biblical forgiveness, actually is. Just like all subjects in the world, there are many different variations of thought on this subject as well, on what forgiveness is. If you were to go out and ask 10 people, just random people, you're probably going to get a variation of 10 different answers. But the Bible should be our authority on what we believe about something. So we're going to look at this morning, what is biblical forgiveness? What does it mean to truly forgive someone according to the Bible? Number one. Number two, we're going to look at how do we go about receiving forgiveness. If we are the one that has transgressed another, or we are the one that has offended another, how do we go about so that we can receive forgiveness? And then also, obviously, on the flip side, how do we react when someone has done us wrong and they desire to be forgiven? I want you to turn real quick to Jeremiah chapter number 31, verse number 34. Jeremiah chapter number 31, verse number 34. So really, when we look at the Bible, which is the authority of our belief, it's the basis of our belief, it's really based upon the virtue or the principle of forgiveness, isn't it? Really, the Bible, the essential element to the Bible is forgiveness. Because you say, what is the Bible about? It's about the gospel. Well, what is the gospel about? It's about how man receives forgiveness, isn't it? It's about how man can be forgiven. So the whole Bible is really pointing towards what principle? What major principle? Forgiveness, in a way, isn't it? It's pointing towards forgiveness. And who better to look at for anything, really, but for especially forgiveness? All things, God is our example. There are areas where God has allowance to do certain things that we don't. You know, I talked about this in one of the sermons I preached, how God can boast about how great he is. Why? Because he's great. Why can you not? Because you're not great. So there are certain things God can do that you can't do. But in most areas, God's example will line up perfectly with what we should do in our lives, right? The greatest example of forgiveness in the Bible comes from Christ, of course. It comes from the Lord. So what greater example to see what forgiveness is than from the Lord? Now, I want to get a definition to begin the sermon this morning of what is forgiveness. What is forgiveness? And throughout the definition, also throughout the sermon in its entirety, I'm going to be debunking a lot of views that people have, a couple of different views that people have about forgiveness that are faulty, that are wrong. Now, right here, I want to begin in Jeremiah chapter number 31, verse number 34, because we get a great definition of what forgiveness actually is. Look at verse number 34 in Jeremiah chapter number 31. It says this, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Now, first of all, I want to talk about why is forgiveness needed? Why is forgiveness needed? Forgiveness is needed to reconcile a relationship, isn't it? Forgiveness is needed in order to reconcile a relationship, to bring back a relationship that was in the past, in good condition, and it's been broken. Something has happened where that relationship has been broken. So one person has offended another person, and they need to be forgiven, or they need to be given forgiveness in order to reconcile the relationship. Now, let me say this. There are times in which, you know, the Bible talks about turning the other cheek, where it's small, small transgressions, small offenses, where, you know, the Bible talks about suffering yourself to be defrauded, right? There are times in which when things really do not matter that much. And what do? You just kind of let it, you just turn the other cheek. It's water off a duck's back, right? You just let it blow over, right, as we say. So it's not that big of a deal. But there are times in which when something is a big enough deal to where it causes a rift in between your relationship. If you feel bitter about it, or if you feel, you know, bitter may not be the right word, but if you feel bothered about it, or you feel troubled about something that someone else has done to you, then forgiveness is necessary. When someone, there's a conflict, and one person in the relationship has a problem because of it, then forgiveness is necessary. That's what I want to talk about, how the necessity of forgiveness first. Now, notice here in Jeremiah 31, 34, because of the forgiveness, God says that he knows him. He knows them. Look at verse 34 again. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, watch this, know the Lord. Why? For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them. Now that is the result of this. Look at the last part. Saith the Lord, for, because, so they all know him, because I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. So notice what restored the relationship was the fact that God was able or willing to forgive these people, right? He was willing to forgive them, and then that brought back the relationship. The greatest forgiveness that could ever be imagined or spoken of is the forgiveness that the Creator gave to the creation.
Amen.
There's not a greater transgression, so there couldn't be a greater forgiveness that's been given. So number one, it is restoring a relationship. That is the definition of forgiveness. It's restoring a relationship that was previously broken because of a transgression or because of a wrongdoing on one person's part. Not only that, let me say this will be the first misconception or false teaching that people have about forgiveness. Is you've probably heard this, people make this statement. People will say this to one another. Maybe if someone did, you know, another person wrong, and they're talking to you about what took place, maybe they'll make this statement. They'll say something along the lines of, yeah, I've forgiven them, but I haven't forgot about it. Who's heard that before, right? That's super common. That's not biblical. I want you to look here at the very end of the verse again, verse number 34. It says this, saith the Lord, so there in the middle actually, it says this, for I will forgive their iniquity. Now watch what it says next. And I will remember their sin no more. So notice these two things are used synonymous. It's the definition, if you will, of forgiving someone for something is not remembering what they had done unto you. Now, it's obviously not saying that God just forgot, he wiped his own memory, right? God knows all things. What is it saying? He's saying that he's not holding this against them, right? He's saying that they have sinned against him, but he has forgiven them. And what is forgiving someone? It's just not even regarding it any longer. Just it's basically as if it never happened in the first place, right? When you stand before God on judgment day, you have transgressed and sinned against God a lot. But you're going to stand before him, and he's going to look at you as if you had never sinned against him or transgressed him at all. You're going to stand there on judgment day, and God is going to regard you as a perfect man that has never sinned against him. Why? Because he had totally forgiven you. It's as if he doesn't even remember the sins anymore that you had sinned against him. Psalm chapter number 103, verse number 12 says this, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. I mean, that is an amazing verse. How far? It doesn't matter whether you're a flat earther or what, right? How far is the east? Is the east from the west? They can never come together. It's not possible. That's how far, when God looks at you, your transgressions are from you.
Amen.
They are totally removed and in every way. That is true forgiveness.
Amen.
That is true forgiveness. The definition of forgiveness is forgetting what that person had ever done to you in the first place. Totally not regarding it. As if they had never sinned against you in the first place, right? A lot of people, when someone transgresses against them, they will become very bitter, won't they? They'll become very bitter. And over time, and this is in their heart, they're bitter. They may have said that they have forgiven them, but they really haven't. And in their heart, they're constantly thinking about this and constantly dwelling upon this. And then later on, when that person does them wrong, what do? Then they bring that up. Yeah, just like last time, you know, when you did this to me. But it's like, hey, buddy, you told me you forgave me for that. I apologized to you, and you said that you forgave me for that, right? That's not true forgiveness. Right. If you're waiting for an opportunity when that person does it, even the same thing if they do it to you, even if they do something worse to you, you do not bring that sin back up to them again. If we use God as our example, is He just going to, oh, I sinned again now? Remember last time? It doesn't work like that, does it? No, you need to totally forget about it. That is what forgiving someone is. Even in a situation, if you do them wrong, it's like your get out of jail free card. It's like you're blackmailing them, right? You do them wrong, and then you're just like, yeah, well, you know, you did the same thing to me. So, no, that's not, you didn't really forgive them then, right? You need to really and truly forgive them. How? You need to forgive them from your heart. What does it mean to forgive? Forgetting is forgiving. Or you can say that either way. Forgiving is forgetting. When someone says to you, if you ever hear someone say to you, hey, I forgave them, but I didn't forget what they did to me. You know what you should respond to them? Hey, according to the Bible, forgiving is forgetting. That's what you should tell them. Amen. Forgiving is forgetting. Point them to Jeremiah 31, 34. He defines forgiveness as not remembering what they had done to them, to him at all. I want you to turn in your Bible. I want you to turn your Bible now to Psalm chapter number 86, verse number 5. Psalm chapter number 86, verse number 5. This ties in with what I was talking about just a moment ago about being bitter. About being bitter about what someone has done unto you. Psalm chapter number 86, verse number 5. Again, using the Lord as our example, it says this. For thou, Lord, Psalm chapter number 86, verse number 5. For thou, Lord, art good, and then watch this, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. So I want you to notice there in Psalm 86, 5, he says this, for thou, Lord, he says, art good. In what way is he good? It says this, ready to forgive, and ready to forgive. We, as Christians, should be ready to forgive. Let me give you a bit of advice on this subject then. If you are going to be ready to forgive, when someone sins against you, I understand things can bother you. I understand, especially if it's a big deal, things can bother you and be troublesome unto you, and you can desire, you know, or you can want them to come to you and ask for forgiveness. But even if someone does not, even if someone does not come to you and ask for forgiveness, you should try not to dwell upon that all the time. And do you know why? The more you become fixated on what this person did to you, the harder your heart becomes. And the harder it will be as a result of that, for if that person does come to you to receive forgiveness, to forgive them in the first place. So we should have the heart or the character, the condition where we're ready to forgive always. And if you just dwell upon what someone has done to you constantly, number one, it's silly. It doesn't help you any. If you want to sit there and just think about all the wrongdoings that people have done to you all the time, you're going to live a miserable life. It's not helping you at all. So, number two, the Bible teaches we should be ready to forgive. What you're doing is you have the preparation in your heart to not forgive them if you're just going to constantly think about this all the time, because over time you're becoming more bitter and you're moving further and further away of the possibility or even having the capability within you to forgive this person. So if someone does you wrong, I understand it bothering you. But you should be proactive. You should take the initiative in your own mind and in your own heart to try to not think about it at least. To not dwell upon what this person has done to you. Don't just sit there and just think about it constantly. Because you know what's going to happen? It's going to be that much harder to forgive them. We should have a heart where we're ready to forgive. Notice that's synonymous in this passage with a person that's merciful. He says, ready to forgive, and then after that he says, and plenteous in mercy. So notice, being a merciful person, which we know, of course, we're not going to look at this, it's outside of the scope of the sermon this morning, but having mercy is also a virtue of a Christian. So we should be merciful, and what is it to be merciful? Being ready to forgive. We should have the attitude where we're ready to forgive someone if they come and they ask for forgiveness. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter number 18. This is where we're going to spend the majority of our time. Where we began the sermon, where the title of the sermon was derived, was Matthew chapter number 18. We learn a lot about forgiveness. Forgiveness from one brother to another brother. That's what Matthew chapter number 18 really deals with. It deals with problems in the church. It deals with people, one person that is offended by another person, and specifically a brother in Christ. That's what this is talking about, a brother in Christ offending or doing wrong to another brother, and how to go about receiving forgiveness. Now, I want to begin, let's begin here in Matthew 18 in verse number 22. We're going to be looking at a lot of this chapter, we're going to be jumping around a lot, but I want to begin right now, initially, in verse number, let's look at verse 21 actually first. Verse number 21. So it says this in Matthew 18, verse number 21, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Now notice the response of Jesus, verse 22. "Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee, until seven times, but until 70 times seven." Now when I read this, I often think, like, did Peter have someone, like, do something to him seven times that day? Because that's like an obscure number. Like, how many times? Seven times shall I forgive him? Or, like, he did me wrong five times. Like, how long shall I let this go on throughout a day, right? Because it's a random number. He's just like, till seven times? Yeah. It just begs the question, why did he pick seven? But it's interesting how Jesus responds, just because Peter picked a random number, Jesus just goes with the number seven, doesn't he? He goes, look at verse 22. "Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times." But then he says this, "until 70 times seven." Now what's 70 times seven? 490 times, right? Now is Jesus saying, hey, if they transgress against you 491 times, don't give them any forgiveness? Is that the point? Of course not, right? He just used seven because that was the number that Peter used. And then he just gives you basically a ridiculous number, doesn't he? 490 times. Even if they sin against you 490 times, you still forgive them. Right. You need to find another friend. No, I'm just kidding. But really, I mean, 490 times, is it even possible for that to take place in a day? I mean, I don't know how. You know, that, you know, hopefully not. Yeah. But here's the point. This is the overall point. That it doesn't matter how many times. That's what he's really saying. It doesn't matter how many. He gives you a number that's really not even possible, right? Basically, it's not even possible for 490 times for one person to transgress against another. And he says, hey, even if they did it 490 times, forgive him. What's the point again? Always forgive your brother. You need to always forgive him, right? A lot of people, the second misconception that people have. The first one was, oh, I forgave him, but I didn't forget about it. That's not biblical forgiveness. That's not forgiving from your heart. Biblical forgiveness is forgiving from your heart, and that means that you forgot about it. To forgive someone means you put it behind you. It's like as if it never even happened, right? The second misconception, or really a false teaching, is this, that we should forgive everyone all the time for every transgression without any sort of repentance or without any sort of apology. Now that is false teaching. I want you to look at the parallel of this. Keep your hand here. Now I want you to go to Luke chapter number 17. I want you to go to Luke chapter number 17. I'm going to show you that is not biblical forgiveness. That is not biblical forgiveness. Go to Luke chapter number 17. As I mentioned, this is a parallel passage. This is the same passage, but it's just recorded in one of the other synoptic gospels, which is the book of Luke. Look here in Luke chapter number 17. Look at verse number 3. "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him." Now, a couple of things that we find here. Number one, if your brother trespasses against you. Now, we're not talking about something small that someone has done, just turning the other cheek where something doesn't matter. We're talking about something that is bothersome, something that's caused the trouble. This is the definition. If it has changed your relationship, then you need to, forgiveness needs to be sought. Forgiveness needs to be sought. Now, how do we go about that? What's the first step? Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, he says this, rebuke him. That's what the Bible teaches. People don't like, you know, confrontation. But if you have a brother, someone in this church or any brother that you have that sins against you, you need to go to them and rebuke them for what they've done to you. You need to go to them and confront them and tell them, hey, what you did to me was not right. What you did to me was wrong. And explain what had happened. Maybe sometimes people do things and they don't even know what they have done, which is not right either. But they don't even know what they had done. But they need to, either way, whether they know or they don't know, you need to confront them and you need to tell them, hey, What you did to me was not right. I'm not letting it go. You know, we need to seek resolution here. It's not just move on with our lives. Something needs to be done about that. Now, the next part is what I really wanted to focus on. That was the first step. But the next part, it says this. And if he repent, forgive him. You know what that means? All I need is this one verse. Forgiveness is conditional. Forgiveness is conditional. That's what the word if means. In order for someone to receive forgiveness, in order for the offender to receive forgiveness, they have to first repent of what they have done. They first have to repent of what they had done. It says, and if he repent, what's the result? Forgive him. What happens if he doesn't repent? You do not forgive him, do you? That's what the Bible teaches. Let's look at God as an example. What happens about the people that don't repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do they receive forgiveness? They do not. Notice how it works exactly the same, doesn't it? Exactly. It's identical, right? He went ahead and he paid the cost. He was what? Ready to forgive because he died for them. But guess what? You still have to repent. If you repent, then I'll forgive you. It's the exact same way in a relationship when one brother sins or transgresses against another brother. We need to have a heart that's ready to forgive. But guess what? If they do not forgive, then we don't. If they do not repent, then we do not forgive them. They must repent. In order, if you have done someone wrong, you need to repent. You need to repent of that and go to them. And you need to ask for forgiveness. And you need to tell them that you are sorry. Look at verse number 4. Verse number 4. Hold on 1 second. Verse number 4. It says this. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Notice what it says there. It's extremely interesting. It says this, number 1. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, so he uses that example of the 7 times in one day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, what did he say? I repent. Thou shalt forgive him. I want to define the word further for you in your minds of what repent means in the Bible. Has this guy repented of the sin that he had done to him? He's not. Why do you forgive him? Because he just says, I repent. It's the exact same definition of repent all throughout the Bible. How do you know that he didn't repent of it? Because 6 times earlier that day he said, I repent. And he had committed the same sin against this person over and over and over again. So did he repent of the sin that he had done it to him? Apparently not, because 6 more times he sinned against that person. Proving that what does it mean to repent? A change of mind. When is he forgiving him? What does he say? He just says, I repent. Notice this is exactly the same way in which we receive forgiveness through God, isn't it? What do we say? Basically, in other terms, I repent. Does it mean, that we're sorrowful for our sins? Was this guy, does it seem like you had a true sorrow for his sin? Well, he did it again, didn't he? It seemingly not, right? That's not what repentance means. Repentance is just at least a change of mind. What does it mean? I repent. He just went to him and he just said the words to him. Hey, I repent. And then what does it say to do? Thou shalt forgive him. So all you have to do is ask for repentance. That's according to the Bible. In what way do you receive forgiveness from another person if you've done them wrong? All you have to do is go to them and say, I repent. I'm sorry for what I've done to you. I wish I wouldn't have done it. Right? You confess what you had done to them and just repent of what you had done. That's all that you have to do in a situation like this. I repent, he says, thou shalt forgive him. Right? Thou shalt forgive him. So look at that statement right there. Thou shalt forgive him. What's that sound like? That's a commandment. That's not a suggestion. That's not God, hey, I would prefer, my preference would be for you to forgive him. No. Jesus said, thou shalt forgive him. Amen. If you are unwilling to forgive someone that has come to you and said, hey, I did you wrong, forgive me, then you are breaking God's commandments. You are sinning. Now you're sinning against God.
Right.
That person sinned against you. They did wrong. And then they came to you and said, hey, I sinned against you. Please forgive me. I'm asking you for forgiveness. And then you say, no, I'm not forgiving you. Now you have sinned against God now. Now you have transgressed against God. And that's where really the hypocrisy comes in. Because when you're not willing to forgive someone else, it's like it's the biggest elephant in the room that could possibly be, because you have a creator and a God in heaven that you sin against constantly, but I guarantee that you desire for him to forgive you, don't you? So what a stinking hypocrite. And what's the reason why people are like that? Because they're too stinking proud. That's the whole reason why someone doesn't want to forgive someone. The same reason why someone doesn't want to go to you and ask you for forgiveness is the same reason why you don't want to forgive them. Because it's pride. What's the reason why people don't ask God for forgiveness? Because they're too stinking proud. That's why. So if you have a problem with forgiving another person, do you know what your real problem is? You're proud. You're too prideful to forgive that person. Do you know what your problem is if you won't go to another person and say, "I did you wrong, I'm sorry"? It's because you're too stinking haughty. That's why. You're too prideful. You know, so you have your own sin in your own life, and even in doing so, you're sinning against God. But I bet you'd want him to forgive you, wouldn't you?
Right.
What a bunch of hypocrisy. And people are like this all the time. So when someone does you wrong, even 490 times in a day, according to Jesus Christ, you should be willing to forgive them. And if you are not, and they come to you and say, "I repent," now you're sinning against God. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what Jesus taught. That you need to be ready to forgive. You need to be willing to forgive others. I want you to go back to Matthew chapter number 18. Matthew chapter number 18. Matthew chapter number 18. So we're going to look further at this. So he goes on after in Matthew chapter number 18 to tell a parable. A parable about an unforgiving servant. A servant that's not willing to forgive. Now, prior to that, I want to look at something before I forget about it. Prior to that, in verse 15 and 16, verse 15, we'll look at 17 too. Verses 15 through 17 is spoken of how to deal with offenses within the church. If a brother, you know, or sister offends you or transgresses against you, I want you to look at what it says in verse number 15 of chapter number 18. It says this: "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee," so that just means he did you wrong in some way, right? He transgressed or trespassed against you. It says, "Go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone." Now watch this. "If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." I want you to notice that it doesn't say if your brother or sister trespasses or transgresses against you, just blow it off, does it? It doesn't say that. That's not biblical forgiveness. That is a very shallow forgiveness. What you'll have is you'll have problems and rifts in your life going forward. If one person has been done wrong, they deserve for that other person to come to them and say, "I repent. Forgive me. I've done you wrong. Forgive me," right? And then you'll never be able to move past that in your relationship. Even if you're around one another, there's always going to be that trouble there. So that's why he says, hey, don't just blow it off. Take it to your brother. Take it to your sister, whatever it may be. Notice it says this also. So first again, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone." And then it says this: "If he shall hear thee." What does it mean to hear you? It means that he's receiving what you said. And what is he telling him, obviously? Hey, you did me wrong. You know, you need to ask for forgiveness. You need to tell me and admit that you've done wrong. And then it says, "If he shall hear thee," saying he acknowledges it, right? It's kind of like when your dad is saying to you, you know, "Are you hearing me?" You know what I mean? He doesn't mean like, "No, are you, you know, is your eardrums picking up the audible waves that are going into your ears?" That's not what he's saying, right? He's saying, "Are you understanding what I'm saying and acknowledging what I'm saying to you," right? So if he hears you, if he receives what you said, that's what it means. If he receives what you said, he says this: "Thou hast gained thy brother." I want you to notice that phrase. That's super important. "Thou hast gained thy brother." Okay, well, before you gained him, what was going on then? Right. You understand that? How there's a relationship gap here? That the relationship needs to be reconciled. There's a problem. That's what it means to reconcile something. Right? It means to bring something back together that was previously joined together. So notice, it's like as if he's not your brother. That's why it goes on. Let's keep reading and I'll tie something else in with that. I just thought of this. Look at verse 16. "But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established." Verse 17. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, watch this. Let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. That's why it says you have gained your brother if he hears you, right? It's saying you restore that relationship because previously, what was it? You know, obviously, the end result would be like he is as a heathen man and a publican. But prior to that, it's almost like he's not your brother, isn't it? Because you've gained your brother in that sense. So notice afterwards even. It doesn't say he's a heathen. He didn't lose his salvation because he's kicked out of the church, right? Just like you get kicked out of some churches, you know, in Arizona. And they're like, oh, you know, they weren't saved to begin with, right? That's not what this is saying. It's saying, let him be unto you as a heathen man. What does that mean? It means, you know, he's not a brother to you. Here's the thing. The Bible is clear. You treat your brothers differently than you treat the world. Right? We're supposed to, you know, have love to all men, the Bible talks about. But the Bible talks about especially under the household of God, under the household of Christ, something along those lines. So there's a greater love that's given to the brothers and sisters in Christ. You know what you do now to this person? You treat him as an heathen. Notice how big of a deal it is to receive forgiveness. How big of a deal it is to transgress against your brother or your sister in Christ in the first place. Because you don't know which end. You may be on the receiving end of the transgression, or you may be the one that actually transgresses or trespasses against your brother. So you need to realize how serious it is. Everyone should also notice and understand what the procedure is in order to fix these things. What the procedure is in order to go forward with problems. That's the reason why a lot of people continue in their life with rifts between relationships, because it's a very shallow forgiveness. You know why? Because you really can't forgive someone until they come to you and admit that they've done you wrong, can you? You can't, right? So I want you to look here. I want to look at the chapter now, like I had mentioned, or the parable, like I had mentioned. I want you to look down at Matthew chapter number 18. We're going to begin in verse number 23. So it says this, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. Then when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, didn't have the money, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. So they would be given up into servitude, right? Because they owed something. Indentured servitude is what this is referred to as or considered. Verse 26, the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Verse 27, then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him. Notice he was ready to forgive, right? It's a good example of that. He had compassion. What is that? It's like mercy, isn't it? It's like talk about the Lord, right? Compassion and loosed him. It says, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Does that sound familiar? It's exactly what he said unto his Lord or his master. Verse 30, and he would not. So he's not compassionate. He's not ready to forgive, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servant saw what was done, so the other people that worked with him, that were under that Lord or that master that forgave him, it says that they were very sorry, that means sorrowful, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, watch this, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Now there's multiple things I want to touch on real quickly, and then we'll be finished this morning. But number one, I want to touch on verse number 32. Why did the Lord forgive the servant? Why did the Lord forgive the servant? Look at the very last statement in verse number 32. Why did he forgive him? Because thou desirest me. I want you to notice how you receive forgiveness. It's just asking for forgiveness. All that he had to say was, hey, forgive me. I've done you wrong. Forgive me. In order to ask for forgiveness, number one, you have to admit that you've done something wrong to them. And then what do? You just ask them, hey, forgive me. Now, you can be sorry for it, or you really don't have to be sorry, but you should be sorry. Let me say that. You should be sorry. Just like when a person gets saved, they should be sorry for what they had done to God. They should be. They don't have to be. They don't have to cry. They don't have to feel bad. Probably, I would say, a lot of people who get saved, they do feel sorry for what they have done. I don't know their hearts. I know when I got saved, I definitely felt bad for transgressing God's law. So I'm basing it upon its anecdotal evidence on myself. It's personal evidence. But I'm sure that there are people that have gotten saved that don't feel sorry. But here's the thing. If you do someone else wrong, you should, in the same way, you should feel sorry for what you've done to them. And you know what you have to do to restore the relationship? You need to go to them and you need to tell them, I've done you wrong. Please forgive me. If you ever sin against a brother, it's your obligation or it is your responsibility to go to them and say, I've sinned against you. Now, if someone sins against you and it's bothering you and they don't come to you, then you need to go to them and rebuke them. That's really what you need to do. You need to go to them and you need to confront them and tell them, hey, you've done me wrong. And they should have been the one to come to you in the first place. You've done me wrong. You need to, you know, apologize for what you've done to me, and you need to ask me for forgiveness in order for me to forgive you. And explain to them, you know, I can't move on in our relationship together. All I think about, you know, just be honest with that person. Because why? Because it needs not to be a shallow forgiveness. It needs to be a real, true, sincere forgiveness. It needs to be what? A forgiveness from the heart. So that's the steps. You need to be the one. If you do someone else wrong, you need to be the one to go to them. If you are the one that's been offended, then you, if you're bothered so much by it, you need to go to them and tell them their fault. You need to rebuke them for what they've done. And then if they repent, you should be ready to forgive. Now you're the one in the wrong if you're not willing to forgive them, right? Yeah, if you look at that where he says, because thou desirest me, right? Go back to, I got to find this now, verse number 26. Then the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. So what did he do? He's just desiring him to forgive him, isn't he? That's all that you have to do. It's a perfect parallel with salvation. That's why, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but in Romans chapter number 10, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Have you ever thought about why the word confess is used there? You know what it means to confess something? It's like a wrongdoing. So what you're doing is, Jesus died for you, and what you're doing is you're confessing his name in order to receive forgiveness. Because you've done wrong, I'm going to confess his name to receive forgiveness. That's the way in which God has chosen how we are going to receive forgiveness is what? It's through Christ. He died for all of our sins. He's ready to forgive. And all we have to do is admit that we've done him wrong and confess Christ's name in place of that in order to receive forgiveness. That's what we're asking for forgiveness, aren't we? And all you have to do is just desire to be forgiven. What do you have to do? You have to repent. Now, did he forgive him, this man in this situation? Did he forgive him after he had paid all of it? Or did he forgive him immediately? That's a perfect picture of salvation too, isn't it? Think about that. Oh, I've sinned against you. And a lot of people say you got to dedicate your life to Christ. You got to make up all the wrongdoing in your life. Wrong. Wrong. He forgives you immediately.
Amen.
Yeah, you know what? You should go out and try to just live your life for God. You should go out and just basically, if you want it in your mind, I want to make up all the wrongdoing that I've done against God. You know, there's nothing wrong with that as long as you realize that's separate or distinct from salvation. As far as being saved, it's just repenting. What does it mean to repent? Forgive me. I've done you wrong. Forgive me. That's all that it means. Repeatedly. And you can prove that over and over again in the Bible. Another perfect example to add to your arsenal is the man that said, if he says, I repent, you keep forgiving him. How many times? Even 7 times in a day. And then we compare parallel passages. That same man sins against him 490 times. Does it sound like that guy repented of his bad deeds against that person? Not even close. But what does he do? He goes to him and says, I repent. Now, here's the thing. God knows the heart. So God actually knows whether you really are changing your mind or changing, you know, your heart in order to take your faith or your trust off of yourself and put all your faith and trust on Jesus. He knows those things. And that's the repentance that takes place in order to be saved. It's a change of your heart and your mind from not trusting in yourself to trusting in God. Now, when a person stops trusting in themselves, what are they saying? I'm a sinner. I can't get myself to heaven. I don't deserve to get myself, I don't deserve heaven. I deserve hell. Therefore, I'm going to confess Christ's name. That's what a confession is. A confession is admitting a wrongdoing. So you're admitting a wrongdoing, and you're confessing Christ's name in place in order to receive forgiveness. It's a perfect parallel with what we see here. And I alluded to this same concept just a moment ago. What do we have here? We have a picture of a man who is being a hypocrite, isn't he? A man who he himself had a great debt that he owed. And what did he do? He fell down upon his knees and he begged his master or his lord to forgive him. And what did his master or his lord do? He forgave him. He was ready to forgive. But then what happened right after that? He had his own servant, or he had his own worker, or whatever it may be. It's a fellow servant, actually. He had a fellow servant, someone that just is on the same level as him, right? And this person owed him something, and what does he do? He doesn't forgive him, does he? He's not compassionate. He's not merciful. What does he do? He tells him, and look at verse number 30, and he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. That's a prideful man. You know why it's pride that does that? It's because you have such a high view of yourself. If somebody does you wrong, it's the biggest deal in the world. That's what that is.
Right.
If someone sins against me, that's real bad. You don't deserve forgiveness. That's why. It's a prideful heart. Hey, you need forgiveness yourself, buddy.
Right.
See how ridiculous this guy looks? That's how ridiculous you look if we could write down a story of whatever happened between you and your other brother, and you wouldn't forgive them. You know why? Because your Heavenly Father had to forgive you for all the sins. Let me say this. You did a lot worse against God than that person, I guarantee, did against you. I guarantee it. Think about that for a minute. And then people are just not willing to forgive someone because of a nasty thing somebody said behind their back. Yeah, I understand things can hurt sometimes, and I understand things can bother you and be on your mind, but when somebody comes to you and they realize that they've done wrong, and then they ask you, hey, please forgive me, and you're not willing, that is wicked.
Right.
That's not just a small problem. That is extremely sinful, and you need to get your stinking heart right is what you need to do. Amen. You have a brother that comes to you and recognizes his problems, recognizes what he's done wrong, and he wants to come to you and restore that relationship. He wants to come to you and fix the problems that he had and continue being brothers or sisters in Christ, and you just say, hey, get out of here. I'm not forgiving you. That's sinful. That is wicked. You have an evil heart. You are not Christ-like. You are not like God. God is ready to forgive.
Amen.
God is great in mercy. Right? It's such a wicked attitude that people have. It's such a sinful attitude when you think of yourself so highly if someone just steps on your foot. Someone just has a small problem that they've done to you, and then you can't even just forgive them over whatever this is. I don't care what they've done to you. Did he specify the problems that the brother has done? He didn't. He said 490 times. He didn't say it was the same thing. He didn't say what it was specifically. He didn't say, oh, it's only small sins that a brother sins against you. He didn't mention them at all. Why? Because it doesn't matter.
Right.
I don't care what they do to you. It doesn't matter. Huge sin, small, it doesn't matter. Brothers and sisters is what we're talking about right now. You forgive them if they come to you and they ask you to forgive them.
Amen.
That's what you do. You have the heart, the right heart, to forgive them. And I can say this from the bottom of my heart. I have my own sins, my own problems that I struggle with, but I don't struggle with forgiving people. Anybody who knows me in here well, if somebody does me wrong and they come to me and they're like, please forgive me, I'm like, I'm not kidding. I can just say, it's like it never happened. I have my own problems and stuff, but it's not, forgiving people is not one of them. I can just forgive people and I can truly act like never happened. Just forget about it. It doesn't bother me.
Amen.
We should have that heart.
Amen.
We should have a heart where we forgive them from our heart.
Right.
And a big problem, maybe if you do struggle with forgiving people, maybe you need to stop staying up at night thinking about what they did to you all the time. You understand what I'm saying? That causes it. You just keep dwelling on it. It just stays in your mind constantly. Stop thinking about it. Stop thinking about it. Live your life. Yeah, they did you wrong, but if you're not going to go to them, then just shut your mouth. If it's bothering you, you should go to them. If they won't forgive you, then what can you do about it? Or if they won't ask for forgiveness, then what can you do about it? That's why he says, now they're as a heathen man and a publican. There's nothing you can do about it. That another passage We actually were there. Let's look back at this again, just because it's very relevant. I want you to understand the parallel with salvation. Go back again to Psalms. The book of Psalms is specifically Psalm 86:5. Go back again. I don't know if you noticed this or not, but I want you to see again the parallel between the forgiveness that we receive from brother to brother, from sister to sister, and then the forgiveness and the way in which we receive forgiveness from God. I want you to look at what happens here in 86:5. Psalm 86:5, it says this: "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy," now watch this, "unto all them that call upon thee." Notice, when does he forgive someone? They just call upon thee. What happened in the parable with the Lord and the servant? He just called upon him. It said, go back to Matthew chapter 18, because we are going to end in the book of Matthew. I wanted to point that out so you understand that it's the same concept. Matthew chapter number 18. If you look there at the end of the chapter, towards the end of the chapter, it says, "The servant therefore," verse 26, "the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with thee, and I have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." Then he flips back, you go or flip over, he says it again, verse number 32. "Then his Lord, after they had called him, said unto him, Oh, thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me." You notice that? Because you just desired me to do it, didn't you? You just wanted me to. You just wanted forgiveness, right? Now, the last point that I want to hit on is to just give you a further knowledge of this chapter specifically. Now, I'm talking about forgiveness in general. There's two types of forgiveness we receive from God. There's the forgiveness we receive when we're saved, right? They both work on the same level, though. Forgiveness just works the same way. You just ask for forgiveness and you receive it, right? There's the forgiveness we receive from God when we are saved. At the moment, what do? We just call upon His name. Now, larger transgressions or larger trespasses against a person may desire some sort of retribution. Like if someone does something to you really bad and steals money from you, they may need to pay you back, depending upon what it is in the situation, right? In order to restore that, there needs to be, to restore the relationship, sometimes there needs to be retribution. If we go back to the law and see that a person has done this to a brother, they stole this from someone, whatever it may be, they need to ask for forgiveness, but in order to really right the wrong, they need to pay them back. Well, in the same situation with God and us, what happened? We didn't have to pay it, though. He did. So the payment was still made. That's the point. He's just greater in mercy than you are and I am, right? So it was such a bad transgression. You're sinning against a holy God. It doesn't matter how bad it is. Every sin has to be paid for. He's just, right? So what does he do? He comes down and he pays it instead of you paying it, but then he offers it to you for free, right? All you have to do is repent. What does that mean? Just ask for forgiveness. It's that simple. I repent. Notice, this is further proof of calling upon the name of the Lord. There's enough proof in the Bible of, you know, asking God to save you. But what's going on here in salvation? He's merciful, it says, and ready to forgive unto who? Unto all them that what? Call upon him. That's what Psalm 85 says. Notice what this person is doing, right? They're calling upon him. And I do believe that there is a reflection of salvation in this. But this passage is not talking about, this parable is not speaking about salvation. It's talking about the other kind of forgiveness. So the first kind of forgiveness is the forgiveness we receive in salvation. The second kind of forgiveness of God, to God and us and our relationship, is the forgiveness that we receive daily when we sin against God. When we sin against God, we should be all the time confessing our sins, what we had done wrong, to receive forgiveness from God. I want you to go to Matthew chapter number 6. Keep your hand there. If you didn't drop it already, I can read it to you. You don't need to go back. But in Matthew 18. But I want you to go to Matthew chapter number 6. We'll look at this again. Being spoken of. So a lot of people are confused when it says, verse 30, "And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, Oh, thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth And it says, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Now, a lot of people have teachings, weird, kind of strange teachings, like, oh, you have to be, you know, people that believe you can lose your salvation, you have to continually be forgiving or you'll lose your salvation. That's not what this is talking about. This person was already a servant. This person is a parable of a person that is a servant of God that's already saved. Now, one proof of that is that notice how long they're going to be. People say, oh, they're delivered to the tormentors. That's hell. There are no tormentors in hell, number one. Yeah, people may think that's maybe where that comes from, where there's like devils with pitchforks, like poking people. That's not in the Bible. There are no tormentors in hell. There's torments, and it's the torments are burning in a flame of fire. That's really the only thing that's mentioned. The gnashing of teeth are people gnashing their teeth because they're in, you know, the utmost pain.
Right.
So it says in verse 34, and his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. If a person goes to hell, are they only there for a little while? No. I don't care what retard Tyler Doka says. If a person goes to hell, they're there for all eternity. That's ridiculous.
Right.
Notice that how this doesn't line up with hell at all. You know why? Because it's talking about if you sin against God in your life, keep in mind everything we talked about and how serious this is on top of how wicked I said it was. If you sin against God in your life, and you ask him for forgiveness, he'll forgive you, won't he? God's willing to forgive. He's ready to forgive. He forgave you for all your sins as far as heaven and hell goes. You just get to go to heaven for free. Once you're saved and you sin against God, if you ask him for forgiveness, he'll forgive you. But you know what? If you live in your life and you're not forgiving other brothers and sisters in Christ, you know what God will do? God will not forgive you in your life. That's what this is teaching. In your daily life, God will punish you for those sins as opposed to forgiving you. Because there are times in the Bible when saved people will sin against God and they deserve chastisement, but God is so merciful that they will pray to him and God will forgive them and not chastise them. But you know what's going to happen? If you don't forgive your brother when he trespassed or transgressed against you, all your sins, now God will punish you for your sins. He's saying he's going to deliver you to the tormentors, you know, until they should pay the debt. He's saying he's going to give you the punishment. It's a parable. He's going to give you the punishment that you deserve. The tormentors at that time, they would have like punishments that were given. Like, you know, people would be receive lashes in, you know, the state of Israel, wouldn't they? In the nation of Israel, they would beat people a certain amount of beatings or scourge them for a certain amount of times. He's saying, I'm going to give you what I should have given you. All the forgiveness you wanted? You want to be a hypocrite? You want to not forgive other people when I forgave you? Well, guess what? Now you're going to receive your punishment too, buddy. Even if you're so proud that you don't want to forgive them, guess what? Now you're going to receive your punishment anyway. It would be smart to just forgive them and to try the best that you can just so that you're not punished, my friend. But even still, you have to forgive them from your heart. So you do, it does have to be a true forgiveness. Because that's why he says in verse 35, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you. If ye from your hearts, I want to prove to you that these are already saved people. From your hearts, forgive not everyone his what? Brother. Their trespasses. It's just a parable, okay? And it's just people that sin against God. If you do not, you know, forgive other people, you want to go to God and ask for forgiveness, you're not going to receive forgiveness from God. Other brothers, you know, it makes it that much worse that God's their father too. So it's one of his sons, you're not any more important than, you need to get that out of your head. You're not any more important to him than the other son. So what's going on here is his two of his sons, he loves both of them equally, and then one sins against him, you know, or let's say this, one sins against the other son, they go and they ask for forgiveness, and the one's like, no, I'm not forgiving you, brother. Then that one that wouldn't forgive the other, he does God wrong, and he's like, oh, I'm going to be punished. I got to pray and ask for forgiveness. Lord, please forgive me. You know what he says? Why don't you go forgive my other son first, and then I'll forgive you. And until then, your punishments are going to be coming down upon you. You better think about that, friend. When you live your life and you harden your heart and you just sit there and dwell upon all the bad things somebody does to you and you even think about it in your mind, oh, I'm never going to forgive that person. I'm never going to forgive. If that's a brother or sister in Christ, you better be real stinking careful. You better be real careful because every sin you do in your life, you better make sure that, you know, you better make sure you're living your life as best as possible. Because when you sin against God now, until you go and forgive them, God's not going to forgive you. And you're going to pay all of it. You're going to pay every bit of what you deserve. He's not going to be merciful to you is what the point is. He's not going to show you mercy and forgive you if you don't forgive others. So you see the importance of forgiveness. Now we're going to end here in Matthew chapter number 6. We'll see this again. Look at Matthew 6. Look at verse 14. It says this, For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So, I mean, it's as clear as day. You see how it's the same exact teaching? If you don't forgive other people, then God's not going to forgive you in your life as a Christian. You're already saved. Yeah, you're saved from going to hell. You're going to go to heaven, right? But here's the thing. Your life's not over, and I don't want to end up like a Saul and keep going down that same bad road that Saul went down. We're all going to sin. We should try to live the cleanest life that we can. But even when we do sin, do you want to know a way in which God will guarantee, or you can guarantee, that you receive every single punishment that you deserve? Live your Christian life not forgiving other people when they've done you wrong and they ask you for it. You know what will happen? God will make sure that you pay, what's the wording, the utmost farthing. Every single chastisement that you deserve, He's an equal God. He makes sure, He gives equity, and it'll be perfect punishment that you deserve. He'll make sure you get it if you don't go around forgiving people. So what do we see? We saw we need to be, number one, ready to forgive. Our heart, as far as, in not the order of the sermon, but the way that we should prepare ourselves, number one, we should be ready to forgive. Now, what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is forgetting. That is forgiveness. Forgiveness is forgetting. It's being merciful. It's being compassionate. What are things that can compel us or help us to have the right attitude? It's understanding what Christ, the cost that Christ paid for us. The debt that Christ paid for us and what He was willing to forgive us for. That should pull you away get you away from this attitude, the holier-than-thou attitude, where you're not willing to forgive other brothers and sisters in Christ. And then we see that, what do you have to do in order to receive forgiveness? You just go to them and ask for forgiveness. It's that simple. When should you forgive someone? As long as they haven't done you wrong, like according to God's law, like where there needs to be retribution according to the Old Testament, then you should just forgive them for what they've done. And like I said, sometimes when people do you wrong, you can turn the other cheek. But if you're not able to, if it's big enough to where it bothers you and it's caused a problem in the relationship, if you're the one that did wrong to the other person, it's your obligation and your responsibility to go and apologize to them. Or at least tell them, I repent, forgive me. You should be sorry. You should go to them and say, I'm sorry for what I've done to you. But you at least need to go and say, what I've done to you was wrong. I sinned against you. I want you to forgive me. Right? And I don't care if it's the 490th time in the day, you forgive them. Amen. It doesn't matter what they did to you, you forgive them. You should forgive your brothers and sisters in Christ. Be Christ-like. Forgive like Christ hath forgiven you. I should have put that verse in there. It just popped into my mind, right? Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you, dear God, for the great example in all areas, dear Lord, for you. We need to learn how to do something. We always just look and see how you did it. We know it'll be perfect. We thank you for your perfect life that you lived on this earth for us to be that example. We thank you for all the great teachings that we can learn from, that you taught your disciples and your apostles. We ask you to be with us. Give us the right heart. Help us to be ready to forgive, dear Lord. Help us to understand what forgiveness is, dear God. And help us, dear Lord, help us as Christians not to go around offending our brothers. But if we do, help us to extend forgiveness to others. Just like you extended forgiveness to us, help us to have the right forgiveness where we just forget about it, dear Lord. We ask you to be with us and be with our church and just continue to bless us and just bless the rest of the day and the services to come today. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen.